Hi, my name is John Light, and I've spent over 20 years working throughout all corners of the recruiting world. Our podcast, Drowning in the Tech Talent Pool, is a resource to help you stay afloat and get ahead of your competition.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Drowning in the Tech Talent Pool. With me today, I have Matthew Godley, who happens to be founder, CEO, and really has a tiger by the tail of GetSpendly.com. Matt, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Good. Well, I have to ask, you know, first things first, and you and I spoke a little while ago, and Spendly is an enterprise you just started up a few months ago, right? I mean, it's not even a year old yet, but you're already, you've got so much lift on the aircraft. It's getting off the runway already. So I'm hoping that maybe you could start us off by sharing a little bit about what that journey's been like, what GetSpendly is, and where things are going to go in the future for you and the company.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think Big Idea came around in 2022. Actually, so we incorporated in 2022, but you know, we really started gaining a lot of momentum here in the, I guess you could say, previous two quarters. We're in 2024 now, but definitely summer of 2023. And very fortunate and lucky to have two great co-founders with me. They're more technical than I am. So I'm driving all the business development. We saw an opportunity in the market and a real pain and problem with small and mid-sized businesses in the U.S. And we decided to roll up our sleeves and create a solution to help them.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about it. I mean, what is, when I see Spendly, number one, it's a thrifty sounding name, S-P-E-N-D-L-Y, or GetSpendly.com. But what's it about? I mean, what's the pain you guys want to address? And what's the, I'm interested to know too, kind of what the technical challenge is like. And I'm trying to approach it, Matt, thinking about you as a non-technical co-founder, because in my experience, sometimes that's a very challenging space. You know, do the tech guys know what they're doing? I know what I'm doing. If I can recognize the pain in the market, I can, you know, business development or manage operations, project manage, whatever. But
I think it's actually an advantage, frankly. And I'll just hit on this briefly and then answer your question about Spendly and what we're doing. I think it's an advantage because, one, I'm not limited to my knowledge. I'm allowed to use my imagination. As Albert Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. So I am familiar with technology and the trends and what's new and can be expanded upon for business development opportunities. And of course, it's about having team members in place that can execute and fill in the gaps and the places to, of course, roll it out technically. So about Spendly, for example, I always like to start with the big idea. Like, here's really how I describe it. Most people can relate to it. Everyone loves to save money, but no one likes how to do it because the process is overwhelming and time consuming. Dealing with sales representatives and searching online for better offers gives most people a cold sweat because the applications, calls, emails, they require everything but a blood sample. And that's only to find one offer. It's not even the best offer. So we created a platform that automates that process for businesses, and specifically in key areas that can create an annual savings up to $2,500 per employee. And it's real timely right now, I think, as entrepreneurs and as founders, it's important to understand market trends and forces and what's creating windows of opportunity. And right now, financial pressure is really growing. The SBA reported that 9.1 million businesses last year reported some cash flow problems, and most commonly through inflation, interest rates, labor shortages, and supply chain issues, causing a lot of challenges for small and mid-sized businesses. Realize this is out of their control, but there are some specific administrative services where businesses are overpaying as much as 20 to 40%. That includes payroll, commercial insurance, health benefits, payment processing, retirement plans, and financing. So we created Spendly, and it's a platform that discovers the best offers on these services for business without any cost or commitments. Big idea really came when I met with the CFO of a $70 million company. I saw his face when he realized he was overpaying by $550,000 a year on payment processing alone. So
a lot is not chump change.
No, it's not, even for a company of that size. It's not a rounding error either. So I thought, well, if this company with a brilliant CFO is overpaying by that much in payment processing alone, how many other companies are overpaying and what other areas are they overpaying? So we rolled up our sleeves and really got to work with Spendly. So it's actually a very simple, plain vanilla user interface. Business signs up on Spendly and they select the service categories that they want to find savings on. And then we have them upload an agreement or an invoice, and our intelligent document processing scans these documents, whether it's an agreement or an invoice, to verify their existing rates and terms. And then we've created a provider network that's able to review all of this data, and they can determine whether or not they can submit a better offer. If they can, we share that offer with the business and calculate the savings. If they can't, then they just don't submit an offer. And as a result of that, 96% of businesses are able to find savings on Spendly. Their savings range between 19 and 48%. Instead of just an abstract number, we always say that it's an average between $1,000 up to $2,500 in annual savings per employee. And 72% of businesses accept the new offers that they receive on Spendly. So that's a high level overview of Spendly, and I'm sure you want to expand on certain points. So,
well, I mean, you know, number one, kudos to you all, not only coming up with a concept, but getting it rolling, right? Because I think you're dead on. And I think it's going to be true all through 24 and into 25. Even if interest rates start coming down, the cost of money is still more than it was 2 or 3 years ago. And inflation is still out there. And you hear people talk about, oh, well, it's, you know, inflation's less. Well, that's great. But now it's inflation on top of the inflation that was there before. So it's more, it's just more at a slower pace. And having opportunities and levering tech in a way that helps, and not to insult small businesses, medium businesses, let's just say mom and pop, let's say the business next door, because most people who are employed with a small or medium-sized business or enterprise here in the States. They're not employed by Walmart. Yes, Walmart employs a lot of people, but it's a relative drop in the bucket compared to the entire 60, 70 million people who are working in the U.S. or whatever the number is. And it's timely. It's timely, you know? And man, you're using tech. I mean, you're going in, you're taking, if I understood it right, you're taking their invoice for whatever service. This is what it's costing us. Here are the benefits we're getting, whatever those are. Can you do better? The provider network, and see what they come up with. And I kind of like that, because on one hand, like you said, they can say, yeah, we can't. But on another, you said, you know what? Maybe we can. And it puts a lot of power in the hands of the consumer. And you don't even charge the consumer for that, I don't think.
No, it's all free.
Man, yep. Well, I might have to go.
We can talk.
Tell
we
me
can
something. Talk. So we can talk. So it's you and your technical co-founders. Tell me a little bit about, I mean, because you're still relatively new, right? The business itself. Tell me a little bit about what kind of technical challenges that y'all have faced. And, you know, drowning in the tech talent pool is really, our locus is really the intersection of tech and talent. And so I'm curious to hear a little bit about that, because it can't have been easy to put the platform together, you know, and especially not just the guts of it, the skeleton of it, but also the UX, what that user experience is like.
Well, I'm a my first startup company, I was a sole founder. Learned a lesson pretty quick that it's always best to join forces with some technical co-founders. I learned that there's a big difference, obviously, between front end and back end. Sometimes people that specialize on the back end say they can do front end, and for a prototype, it can get the job done or proof of concept. But for rolling out an enterprise application, I don't know if it would be my first choice. So fortunately for me, really lucky to have just two great co-founders. One specializes on back end, one on front end. Tremendous experience, both of them, working for one, yes, formerly worked for like a massive tech company and had a leadership role there. The other is focusing, has helped more than 20 startups go from launch to scale. From a UI UX design perspective. So, it's as far as challenges go, the setup and the platform obviously takes time. My one co-founder says we're not building a rocket ship. It's very simple. It's a matter of just getting hours in. I would say from a technical perspective, one of the challenges that we are working through and expanding on is the intelligent document processing. So having certain bandwidth, having certain number of invoices and documents to funnel through our system to have that pattern recognition and text recognition of where specific data points are, whether it's a payroll service, if it's merchant services, if it's a loan, if it's a commercial insurance policy, being able to identify those data points in different documents from different carriers is somewhat of a challenge. That said, we have some really, really great solutions and team members in place that are able to help facilitate that. And that way, when we grow and we have a larger influx of documents, we have a database we can apply and run through and train the algorithms on. So I would say as far as technical challenges, that's really what we've faced so far. And I'm sure there'll be others that pop up, but our culture is to confront and overcome and use as an opportunity to be even better.
So Matt, when you're looking forward from where you are today and you're having really good success bringing some big names on board as providers, and I know you're negotiating with others and going down that road, but what kind of challenges do you see when you look at scaling this? Because you kind of have the tiger by the tail, right? But it's still a business that's going to require certain mass, certain volume. How do you approach that from the perspective of not just, hey, we've got this tech out here, but getting the right team together? Because you can't do it with just your co-founders. You've got to have other people contributing and putting the hours in and the expertise in. How does it feel to have that tiger by the tail? What obstacles are you anticipating and how do you expect to overcome them?
I mean, it's a great question. For me, I've always learned to go as far as you can see. When you get there, you'll see further. It's important to have vision and understand where you ultimately want to go. But kind of bring it back home with another expression that serves true to our culture at Spendly. It's eat the elephant one bite at a time. So we have specific goals that we're looking to achieve, obviously to raise another round and hit certain benchmarks with revenue. So it's really more of a day-to-day execution where we're a lean and mean team. I would always prefer quality over quantity. And so everyone can really wear multiple hats. I'm driving business development. Very lucky to have two co-founders that can really punch above their weight class when it comes to tech and certain features and rollouts and timelines. So I would say for us, what we're looking at as far as next steps, I think there's the business development side, there's the tech side. I'd say the tech side is obviously continuing to train our algorithms. So we have that intelligent document processing in place. So as we do have those larger volumes of users coming on a monthly, weekly, daily basis, it just goes smoother for us and smoother for our users. And as business development goes, really distribution is a key area of focus for us, and aligning with partners that can help us reach businesses that they would one expect to hear about Spendly from. I mean, it's doesn't really do us any good to partner with folks that wouldn't be a natural conversation about Spendly, or at least an extension of what someone's doing to Spendly, for example. I would say those are really the two areas of focus right now. We're gaining a lot of traction in all these areas. We just formed a partnership with Acrisure. They're the seventh largest property casualty insurance brokerage firm in the world. So we're very fortunate. We just closed a deal with JPMorgan Chase and their payment tech division as well. So we're starting to really build out our platform with leaders of industry. And I think that's going to provide a better service offering and quality to our users in addition to those savings. We will never compromise savings for quality. We've actually turned away more providers to join Spendly than we have expected. So we're going to continue to focus on those staples and fundamentals that we have in place, because we always want to deliver on value. And we've seen there's a correlation between savings and quality of service that are provided. So that's really
right,
part of our brand
right.
recognition
well,
now.
And I mean, look, in any environment where you're starting something up and you're bringing a service or product to someone, you want to be as close to the customer as you can, right? You want to deliver as much value as you can. You want it to be tangible, because that's what helps make that customer sticky, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's prudent. I think it's a smart thing to do. What is it that you guys, when you look at the company in the marketplace, you know, we're coming out of, you know, I almost hate to drop dates out here in a podcast. We're coming out of 23, which is a challenging year for a lot of people. And so is 22 for that matter, but we're coming into 2024. And you've gone and you've started a business in one of the more challenging environments out there, as far as businesses go, at least here in the U.S. You're looking at things on the upswing, you know, and this whole new set of challenges coming in influenced by 2024, you know, how do you all look at this year from a business environment perspective? You know, we don't normally talk about business environment as a topic on the podcast, you know, because usually it's tech, it's talent, it's where that intersection is. But I'm really curious to get, you know, because you're a guy kind of like me in the sense, you know, we launched Sabretooth recruiting in November of 22, October, November 22. And we launched in one of the more difficult markets, maybe the most difficult market I've ever been in. And I've been doing this for a long time. So I'm curious, you know, you launch Get Spendly in a challenging market, but here you are in 24. We see all these economic forces swirling around us. What's y'all's perspective on that going forward? You know, I imagine it's not all rosy, but I imagine it's also still pretty positive.
When your attitude's right, the facts don't count. Because what most people consider facts are really just opinions.
Uh-huh.
So for us,
okay,
if anything, it's really a catalyst for our growth. I say that sensitively to those in the market and with the economic forces of inflation, interest rates, labor shortages, supply chain mm-hmm. issues. There's already a problem. Those are really just bringing the pain to surface. And with mm-hmm. a platform like Spendly, that's no cost or commitments to find those savings of that caliber, it's good for our business. I'll say that.
No, I mean, it's definitely highlighting the need of it, like you said, but the problems were already there. It's just, they bubbled up. That's a great perspective, man. It's funny. I tell my kids, which I have six, don't laugh. It's a circus around here. But I tell them all the time, you know, attitude and effort over time is what delivers results. It's not necessarily your talent. It's not necessarily your ideas. It's not necessarily, you know, how pretty you are or not, as the case may be, or anything else. It comes down to what's your attitude and your effort like. You know, because if you mix those with talent, that's where you start seeing stuff. And it takes time. There's also this function of time in there. You know, if it was just attitude and effort, man, I'd have a great attitude and put out all the effort you could imagine for 8 hours or 10 hours. And that's it. Well, you're not going to get anything out of that. It's, you got to put the energy into the flywheel, into the machine. All right, Matthew. So you're a relatively young guy, you know, but you obviously have a nose for something that's promising, and that's challenging to dig into. Tell me something that, share something maybe is a little outside of the normal business parameters that are out there. What do you have out there that you would consider kind of a passion project or an endeavor that you're involved in or want to get involved in that makes a difference either in your life or the lives of the people around you?
Spendly.
There's that attitude again in the effort, focus about getting it done.
Well, I answer your question and I want to expand on it. Not trying to be a jerk. I've heard that, like Napoleon Hill, define your dream and have a burning desire for its achievement. And Spendly for me is a magnificent obsession. And one of the things that I think is common across founders and entrepreneurs is having depth of vision. I actually did this one time with an investor. If you can believe this, I actually brought an acorn into a meeting. I was very young. I was right out of college. And I knew I was going to get thrown around a little bit because of my age. And so this investor very wisely and fairly asked, well, what makes you so special and what makes you so different? I was prepared. So I take this acorn, I set it on the table, and I asked him, what do you see when you look at this acorn? And he said, I see a meal for a squirrel. I said, fair. And they can be a meal for a squirrel. I see a forest. So it's having depth of vision, being able to see things 20, 30, 40 years far beyond what may just be step one, step two, step three. So with Spendly, for example, it aligns with my greater purpose, which is to increase a positive impact for all in society and in the world. When I think about those savings, right? Think about the average savings that we create for businesses, that $1,000 to $2,500 in annual savings per employee. And that goes back into a business owner's hands. That can go into benefits. That can go into health benefits, 401ks, increased pay, go into college tuition funds, family vacations, and go into anything. And for me, I'm very obsessed with that. And, you know, it, as they say, like, love people, use money. It gets turned around when you love money and use people. But we're very obsessed. I'm very obsessed with just creating financial freedom and efficiency for businesses. And that carries over into so many individual lives as well as families in our economy. And we certainly have plans on expanding internationally. So for me, that's how I look at Spendly and, you know, definitely kind of intersect and align my personal values and the long-term vision of Spendly to really serve the world in a greater purpose.
Awesome. Now, lastly, I think that's a noble purpose. You know, a lot of people, I think, get caught up in this idea that you can't make your passion your business or your business your passion. But it sounds like you've managed to find a way to overlay those. And I remember the expression where a fellow said, I read somewhere, man, I can't remember who said it off the top of my head, that, you know, if your work is something that you love, basically, you'll never actually work a day in your life if you just do what you love. And, you know, to me, that's kind of the thing that everybody in a career reaches for, at least at some level, right? Is that, wow, I'm going to go do X because I think I might love X. You know, I had a candidate last year who went three-fourths of the way through medical school and realized he didn't want to be a doctor. So he went and got an advanced degree and some other, some form of engineering and ended up getting into data science, which, great, kudos for him. But I mean, you're going down this path and you're going to be a doctor, or you're going to be an accountant, or you're going to be a whatever, and you realize it's not there. And it's interesting to me how many people stay in those paths because they've invested so much and they're afraid to leave it. versus those who kind of are willing to cut the cord and say, okay, I found this alignment for what really lights my fires and how I can deliver on that. I honestly did not expect, I didn't even write it in my notes from prior conversations that, you know, you would say Spendly as your passion project, but it really resonates again, because I think it's a rare space to talk with people who, in a sense, and I don't mean this in a negative sense, don't have room for something to distract them from what they're focused on, if that makes sense, because their focus is, and their passion is on this thing they're doing. They don't need the side business or the side hustle or this whatever going on. I find that refreshing, Matthew. I don't know about you, but that's not something you find every day.
Oh, it's a sweet, sweet life that I live. I mean, love what you do and do what you love. You know, love what you do and do what you love. To kind of expand on your point, I don't really believe in a work-life balance. I don't believe in it. I think it's a myth. And that may be, that's just my choice, my preference. But to kind of expand on what you said, one of our investors I heard speak on stage in Silicon Valley in front of a very large audience. And to your point about having a magnificent obsession, he said that if he asks a founder or a group of co-founders, if this doesn't work out, you know, what's your plan B? If they have a plan B, he doesn't invest.
No kidding.
So I think it just goes to show that you have to be all in, all in.
He's kind of burned a bridge behind you.
Invest in us.
On that side of the riverbank.
Yeah. You have to burn the boats. You have to burn the boats.
Yeah. Burn the boats. Cross the Rubicon. There's no turning back. Man. So I'm trying to think of where else I can pick your brain, where else I could steer you and learn something else from. I mean, you've gone in and really a few months, a year-ish thereabouts, recognized the need, pulled in co-founders, built a business platform, got investors, driving revenue, adding big brand names. I actually had a conversation earlier today with a gentleman as an introductory call. We're talking, and I said, yeah, just not long ago, I spoke with this guy who's got this really cool platform. I'm about to cut a podcast with him. And he said, what is it? And I mentioned a website, and I could see, you know, you can see when somebody's on video and they're, you can see them typing. He's like, oh, this is really slick. I said, wait a second. I've been talking while you're typing. Did you hear anything I said? And he goes, yeah, but this is really, oh, this looks really slick. And I'm just like, okay, I can't win that one. but I find it remarkable in a time when we have technology that baffles people and that's moving rapidly, that you all have put this together in such a short time, are seeing success from it. And I can't help but think that in different sets of hands that lack that obsessive drive to live the life and make the life you live the life, so to speak, I don't know that it would be where it is. So kudos to you and your tech co-founders and your backers, because that's not easy, building something from scratch, basically out of the ether and turning it into something tangible. And I really appreciate, Matthew, taking the time to talk with me today, because
I appreciate that.
It gives a sense of perspective. I deal with people in the VC space and the PE space and all the time. And there's some bad press and a bad rap about being focused. And it's to the degree that, I don't believe in work-life balance, that sort of thing. Well, I mean, if you're doing something you really love, I mean, where does it unmerge? You know, you've merged life and passion and business all together. Where does it unmerge? You know, and I don't think it does for people who are in that mode. And it's pretty exciting to see.
Yeah, I agree.
Actually,
I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. I'm lucky. So great co-founders that, as you mentioned, someone once told me that, you know, if you have a horse pulling a cart, it can only go so fast and pull so much weight. But when you have two horses, it doesn't pull twice as much weight. It actually pulls, I think, 3 to 5 times as much weight. So it's really a testament to the whole team at Spendly and everyone that's working with us in unison towards one vision. So I appreciate that. And of course, I'll let them know that you shared those kind of words with us.
Oh, well, it won't be too long. And you can just point them to the podcast. Say, hey, you got to listen to this too. I won't complain, but in the meantime, Matthew, getspendly.com. Thanks so much for carving out the time and joining us today on Drowning in the Tech Talent Pool.
Thank you for having me. It was a joy and a pleasure. And everyone, like, subscribe. I'll be sure to share it on my social as well. Help you all grow. I think you're doing a great thing and giving up and coming entrepreneurs and companies a voice. So I'd love to support you all in any way I can moving forward.
You've been listening to Drowning in the Tech Talent Pool. This podcast is sponsored by Sabretooth. Sabretooth improves the quality of hire and speeds up the time to fill specialized machine learning, data engineering, data science, and developer roles, stretching tech recruiting budgets further by bringing the precision of retained search and the speed of contingent search to the market in one complete solution. Find out more at sbr2th.com and follow me, John Light, on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening.